Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. For some warm, sunny weather year-round, head to Mexico's Mazatlan. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is November 26th, 2013. Thanks for joining us today. We're on day two of our travel article, Mexico's Mazatlan Mojo is Back. You can find it on pages 38 through 40 in your Advanced magazine. And if you were here yesterday and you learned about this beach resort that is located in the western part of Mexico, if you look at the map on page 38, you can see where it is pinpointed. It is actually that area, the water body there is called the Gulf of California, which is kind of an interesting name that would be called the Gulf of California. But it's a nice, pleasant area. The weather is great there. And if you really want to get away from the normal hustle and bustle of touristy areas, certain places in Mexico will suit you. Mazatlan is one of them. It's real laid back. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But before we get into today's reading, I want to hear from the panelists that we had yesterday. They're back today. First, Joanna Wirtz.
It's good to be back. Let's talk really quickly about Carnival, or not Carnival in particular, but this is a winter celebration. It happens before Lent, which is the time before Easter. So it's usually in February, March. Mm-hmm. And you can know that from this article that that's the time of year that this is going on, and Mexico is a great winter retreat. Mm. In most parts of the U.S. and Canada, it gets pretty chilly in the winter. Mm. And for people wanting a warm tropical vacation, this Mexico is an inexpensive and gorgeous place to go.
Yeah, inexpensive. Yeah, you can
very
go to vacations in Mexico for a very low price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Carnival, you mentioned, Joanna, that probably the most famous carnival people are familiar with happens in Rio de Janeiro.
Yes, the famous one, the big one.
Yeah. So there were the parades, we might see videos and pictures of people dancing in the street. It goes on for about a week or so down there. Campbell Chong's back also.
Hey, yes. So I think it was also interesting to find out that people are not only vacationing in Mazatlan in Mexico, that people are from Canada and America are moving down and actually living and settling down in Mazatlan too.
Yeah. And, there's this migration that is going on with people that are, especially the retired people from the United States and also Canada. We learned yesterday of this couple from Vancouver, British Columbia, moving down. They've started vacationing, then decided to make a residence in Mazatlan. Very typical example. There's a lot of people, thousands of people from Canada and U.S. moving not only to Mexico, but also places like Panama. There's a huge population of transplants, expats in Panama City and other parts of Panama. Also in Costa Rica, a lot of these people, based upon their pensions, they can go and live a life of luxury in some of these Latin American countries. And that is why many of them are moving to places south of the border, out of the United States and Canada. So, okay, let's do this. Let's get into our reading for today. And we'll split it up into two sections. So turn to page 39. We start off with Bouncing Back.
Bouncing Back. 2013 is shaping up as the town's best year in a decade. According to Carlos Berdeg, president and CEO of Mazatlan's four El Cid hotels, $6 million has been allocated for tourism from the U.S. and Canada, a promotion that's filling the town's 12,000 beds. Our group and convention programs have been very successful, The cruise lines are returning, and the airlines are looking at creating more capacity, he said. The cruise port and passenger terminal, designed for comfort and for passenger security, has docking room for 8 large passenger ships at once. Adjacent tour bus parking will allow passengers taking shore tours to board the buses without much walking. Cognizant that first impressions matter, the adjoining neighborhood has also gotten a facelift. Seedy shacks are gone, cracked stucco was painted, and vacant lots turned into gardens.
Okay, bouncing back. And yesterday we talked a lot about Mazatlan and some of the things that the city has had to overcome in the last 5 or 10 years. Mexico has had to deal with some problems with crime, drug crime in specifically. Most of that is happening in other areas of Mexico, up in the mountains and also along the U.S. border. So many of the resort towns in Mexico have not had the same problems. They haven't been completely immune from them, but Mazatlan was having to deal with some of that and impacting the tourist trade. So, but we're finding out that 2013 is shaping up as what?
Shaping up as the town's best year in a decade, and that's good news for Mexico, or Mazatlan in particular. Mm-hmm. It's good that the tourists are finally coming back.
Okay, and this is according to Carlos Bredeg, president and CEO of Mazatlan's 4L Cid Hotels. And now what is his position exactly? Well, yesterday we met Francisco Cordova, who was looks like a government official, but this guy's not working for the government, Carlos, right?
No, this is a businessman. He's in charge of tourism, and he's in charge of these hotels. And so he tells us that $6 million has been allocated, which means has been set aside for tourism from the U.S. and Canada.
All right. And what that figure is, the $6 million, we actually had done a news clip on this about a year ago. The Mexican government, their tourism bureau, had been spending a lot of money sending representatives traveling throughout the United States and Canada, holding promotions, offering deals to try and attract tourists from the United States and Canada to overcome the negative perception that they were getting from the media. And so that's what Carlos is talking about here as far as $6 million of Mexican government money has been spent or allocated, targeted towards attracting tourists from the United States and Canada. So they're working really hard to make this attractive and inform people, hey, this is okay. You can come here. Has it worked?
Yes, it has. It has filled the town's 12,000 beds, which means it's filling the hotels, the guest houses, the bed and breakfast, any sort of place where a visitor or tourist might like to come stay.
And Carlos Bordeg continues.
That's right. He says, our group and convention programs have been very successful. So we're talking about, you know, group rates or having companies send their people down to Mexico for conventions. And so these things have been very successful. They're also seeing cruise ships returning to their ports, and airlines are looking at creating more capacity. So they're trying to expand their ability to carry passengers down to Mexico.
Okay. Yep. They're going to be looking to add more flights because apparently right now they're selling out all of their flights.
They need more, yes. They need more flights available to bring in, you know, more tourists, more customers.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think all of this just shows that, you know, more and more people are going down to Mexico and that this $6 million has been well spent.
Okay. One thing we did mention in that paragraph were the cruise lines, the large ships, and we find out about the facilities there.
Well, the cruise port and passenger terminal, where the passengers go when they get off of the boat, is designed for comfort and for security.
Okay. All right. So that is very important. They are addressing this because they know that one of the concerns for travelers from Canada and U.S. are, is it safe? Can I be comfortable there? And so that's why they mention, and that's why they would even promote this as the representatives will go traveling throughout the U.S. and Canada. saying, hey, we've got security, plenty of security in place, because a lot of the tourists are going to be so keen on that about security. And so then this place, the port, has docking room for 8 large passenger ships all at once.
That's a lot. I mean, if you think about each cruise ship carrying, you know, 1,000, 2,000 passengers, if you've got 8 of them at the same time, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, those things are huge, the cruise ships. And you said you had gone on a cruise to Mexico.
Yes.
A couple,
right? I've been on 2 different ones, yes.
Yeah. Big ships?
Yes, they were very big. It was very nice.
Yeah, okay. That's a great way of seeing Mexico. So maybe taking a cruise to visit some of these port cities. And then right there, once the ships pull into port?
Well, adjacent tour bus parking will allow passengers taking shore tours to board the buses without much walking. So here we're talking about, you know, when you're on a cruise, you're spending one day in one place and another day in another place. Mm-hmm. You don't really have a lot of time to explore. And so you might want to have a tour, you know, but you don't want to walk so far to the tour bus before you start your tour.
Right.
So they've got these parking areas right near the docks so that people can get right onto the buses.
Yeah, the cruise ship is going to pull in maybe at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then they plan on shipping out at maybe 5 o'clock. So you might have, you know, you might end up having 6 or 7 hours by the time you're allowed to get off the ship to go see the town. So time is of the essence. All right, and we turn to page 40.
We learn that they are cognizant, they are aware that first impressions matter.
Okay. They, you know, what about this first impressions thing? What do we mean by that?
First impressions is the impression you get when you first see or experience something. That's the first opinion you make when you encounter something new.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's Campbell. He's the ship is docked. And he's walking down the deck, right? And then he looks.
Right.
That's your first impression.
That's my first impression. And often the first impression is the one that you remember most vividly. So they know that this is important. So they have cleaned up the adjoining neighborhood. It says they've given it a facelift.
Hmm. A facelift. But normally we have like facelift for old Hollywood actors, right?
Have you ever gotten a facelift, Bill?
Not yet. I haven't, you know, I haven't worked on that yet. So. But in this case, we're talking about buildings getting a facelift.
That's right. They've gotten rid of some bad-looking buildings. We see the seedy shacks are gone. So when we're talking about something that's seedy, it's something that it's in bad condition, something that, you know, people might wonder about. So these shacks are gone, and cracked stucco, the buildings have been fixed up and painted to make look nice.
Yeah, sure. If Campbell's walking down the plank from the ship and the first thing he sees is this like really terrible looking neighborhood, that's not going to encourage you to walk around and do a lot of shopping.
Right.
You might turn around and go back on the ship.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, it also goes to promote the idea that this is a safe and it's a nice neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they've even taken the vacant lots and turned them into gardens and not just like garbage pile up there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this place nice.
Right. It reminds me back a couple of years ago when Taipei had the Floral Expo. You know, they spent a lot of money cleaning up the streets and the sidewalks.
Okay, let's have our second reading for today.
Remembering the past. Shore tours will visit several nearby 16th and 17th century era villages and the ancient pictographs on the shoreline. Visitors who opt for a stroll through the historic center's narrow streets and shaded plazas dating to 1837 won't be sorry. It was these plazas where the first colonists gathered and where much of the time's social and civic life played out. This is where people meet to walk, talk, work, eat out, or sit and watch the world go by. Wander around, and you'll find the Plaza Machado, the cathedral, the elegantly restored Angel Peralta Opera House, and the Art Museum. If the past is prologue, the outcome is already written. Some cruise passengers will make a beeline for the beach, sample real Mexican cuisine at Poncho's, and take the sightseeing boat to Deer Island. On the second trip, they'll dine by candlelight at Pedro and Lola's, sit on the Plaza Machado, meet expats from home, and play golf. After that, who knows?
Bill Quinn here with Joanna Wirtz and Campbell Chong, and we are on our final section of this travel article, Mexico's Mazatlan Mojo is Back. And we're on page 40. The section is titled, Remembering the Past.
That's right. So we're talking about shore tours. Again, these are tours that leave from the cruise ships for people that get off the cruise ships and saves them time. Shore tours will visit several nearby 16th and 17th century era villages and the ancient pictographs on the shoreline.
Now, we have pictographs as one of our specialized terms. I want to make a little bit of a correction. The term definition says a type of graph that uses pictures or symbols. Actually, what these ancient pictographs are, some of the indigenous tribes 600, 800, maybe even 1,000 years ago, what they did is they actually used some of their natural materials, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, things like that, to make paintings and drawings on the stone walls in this part of the world. And so it gives you a window into the cultures that inhabited these areas half a millennium or even a millennium ago. So it's very interesting to see these ancient drawings. And what's the significance of 17th century era villages?
Well, Mexico's history is very rich, both in local history with the native tribes and people who have lived there for thousands of years, and from explorers from the old world, from Spain and Portugal coming in and visiting. And around that area, that time, the 16th century, 17th century, was when explorers were first encountering these native tribes. So I imagine it's a very interesting blend of Europe and native Mexican culture.
Yep. Okay. Visitors who opt for a stroll through the historic center's narrow street and shaded plazas, well, what's going to happen?
Well, these streets and plazas are dating back to 1837. Well, they won't be sorry, because it was these plazas where the first colonists gathered and where much of the time's social and civic life played out. So they'll see a lot of history in these areas.
Yeah, and when we say colonists, that's what Joanna was mentioning. Would it be the Portuguese and mainly the Spanish colonists? So that says 1837. However, the Spanish were there in, I believe it was about the 1514 and 1500s when they actually first landed in Mexico and started exploring this area. So it goes back centuries, several centuries. So this is where people do what?
Well, they walk, talk, work, eat out, or sit and watch the world go by. It seems like everything that's happening in the town is happening right there.
And not just tourists either. That would be some of the local people also. And then we see what might happen if we wander around.
Well, if you wander around, you'll find the Plaza Machado, the cathedral, the elegantly restored Angel Peralta Opera House, and the art museum.
All right. We see a picture of the cathedral up there. And actually, this is true throughout Mexico, right, Joanna? There's these glorious cathedrals throughout the country.
I've never visited one personally, but I know that the Catholic faith is very, very rich and vibrant in Mexico. So there's a lot of church history to see there.
Well, yes. Of course, this was something that the Spanish brought with them as they colonized Mexico. And there are missions, countless missions throughout Mexico. And it was during the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, not only for the explorers and for trade, but also Catholic missions were all throughout Mexico, and they built these very large churches in some of the metropolitan areas. So there is an extremely strong Catholic influence there. Most of the country, most of the residents are Catholic, so that's why you'll see these big churches. And we also see a picture of the opera house right there. And I have to point out one other picture up there at the top left corner of page 40. Looks like a large parachute right there, but actually right on the beach. And I think this fellow with the parachute is going to go parasailing.
Nice.
And that's where you have a parachute. Your person is attached to it. And then there's a long rope pulls you along, a boat. Normally a boat will pull you along. and the boat's out in the water, and you're flying up in the air maybe 200 feet or so.
Sounds like fun.
The reason I mention that is I did that in Cancun.
Oh, really?
I went parasailing. It was the only time in my life I did it. And initially I was scared, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. It was eerily quiet when I was up there. I do remember that. So it was like really cool. So you might want to give that a try if you go to Mexico.
I will.
Yeah. Now, we move into the right corner, or the right column, actually on page 40 for our final little section of this reading.
Right. It says, if the past is prologue, the outcome is already written. Now, when we're talking about a prologue, when we talk about a prologue in a novel or in a movie, it's events that happen before the main event of the movie or the book. So if what we see in the past is indicative of what's going to happen in the future or now, well, then the outcome is already written.
What does that mean, the outcome is already written?
It means we already know what will happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, based upon the past and what we've seen. And now we find out, well, what about these cruise passengers? We talked about the cruises earlier.
Well, some of the passengers will make a beeline for the beach. That means they will go straight for the beach.
All right. And I know that when it comes lunchtime, Joanna usually makes a beeline for her favorite restaurant. You're in a hurry, right?
Yes.
Get out of my way.
I do. I'm very hungry. Go straight.
Yeah. When you make a beeline to something, you don't want anybody bothering you or getting in your way. And then also what they might do.
Well, they might go to the beach or they might sample real Mexican cuisine at Pancho's and take the sightseeing boat to Deer Island.
All right. You like Mexican food?
Some I do.
Yeah? You like Mexican food?
Oh, I do. I like Mexican food.
I know even in New York City, I'm sure you have a pretty good variety of Mexican food to choose
from. For sure.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I do like Mexican food. It's very different, but you can get it, and it's not all of it spicy. You can get it very mild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very good flavor. So you can do that at not only Pancho's, but many, many restaurants. Also, take a sightseeing boat to Deer Island. That's the first trip. That's the first trip. What about on the second trip the tourists might take there?
Well, on their second trip, they'll dine by candlelight at Pedro and Lola's, sit on the Plaza Machado, and meet expats from home and play golf. So a little bit less touristy, a little bit more comfortable at their own speed.
Yes. And then we finish by saying, after that, who knows? Now, why do our writers write that?
Well, they just mean that, you know, after their second trip, who knows? Maybe they'll come back for a third trip and maybe they'll move there eventually.
Yeah, that's actually what we had learned yesterday about some people from Canada and also the United States actually moving there. A lot of times people will take vacations in some of these places, go there 2, 3, 4 times, and then they decide, hey, let's just move here, especially after they do retire. They might sell their house wherever they are originally from and then actually then move down to some of these other economies that they can actually afford to live like a luxurious lifestyle as opposed to where they were from. So a lot of reasons people might do it. Weather is another thing. A lot of people from the United States and Canada, when they retire, they do move to Mexico or Costa Rica or Panama because they don't want to be living in the snowy, cold, icy weather. They would much rather be relaxing down there in the golden zone. So instead of shoveling snow. We do have two sidebars in this article that we haven't covered yet. First, that one on page 40 in the bottom left corner.
It says, cruise lines return. After pulling out abruptly 18 months ago, Holland America and Norwegian Cruise Lines are returning to Mazatlan, adding 10 port stops to their Mexican Riviera route and 35 more during the 2014 season. We'll be ready for them, said Cordova. I've got a tourism budget of 400 million pesos, U.S. $32,541,000, half for the new cruise port and the rest for restoration and improvements in the historic city center.
Okay, well, there's a lot in there. There are 10 port stops. There are a number of tourist cities there in Mexico all along their coastline that are great places for these cruise ships to stop. And you could probably take a cruise and stop in maybe 5 or 6 different cities. And the Cordova there, who is speaking, that's actually Francisco Cordova. We had met him in yesterday's reading. He is the Secretary of Tourism for Sinaloa, the state in Mexico that the city of Mazatlan is located. And he's talking about the government budget. That's the money he has available. They have budgeted a lot of money to help improve their infrastructure, such as making the port better, and then also doing some other things to, you know, give the town a facelift and also put gardens in, make it an attractive place for tourists. There's also another sidebar on page 39 at the top of the right column.
Visit the bustling market. The central market is where housewives shop for food, teenagers for cheap purses and jewelry, and travelers take photos. Covering a city block, the two-story iron structure houses hundreds of stalls selling fruits of every color and shape, vegetables, nuts, bread, tortillas, cheeses, woven hats, souvenirs, fish, shrimp, chickens, pigs, beef ribs, cakes, pies, cookies, puddings, and candy.
When you went to Mexico, did you buy a lot in the marketplace?
Absolutely. It's the highlight of every trip I go on to Mexico. It really is. Beside the beach, the shopping is amazing. Everything is so cheap, and it's cool and different.
Okay. I feel like Joanna's ideal vacation would be like one day just sitting on the beach and reading, and then the next day shopping, and then going back to the beach, and then
yeah,
shopping.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I do vacation.
I remember when I was in Cancun, I actually loved going to the marketplace when I was there. It was incredible, some of the stuff you can buy there. And for instance, I bought like a marble chess set.
Cool.
And it was like $10.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Can you leave it to me in your will?
It is gorgeous. And I got it for $10. All right, Campbell, I'll put it in your will, or my will. I'll give it to you. But stuff like that, it's just stuff I would have paid $100 or $200 in the United States for. I was able to get it. So you can find some real bargains in the marketplace. Listeners, thanks for being here for this travel article. And if you're looking for some adventure, head down to Mexico's Mazatlan. Thanks for being here again. This is Bill.
Campbell.
And Joanna.
Saying adios.
Hasta luego.
Y hasta mañana.